a paragraph of Pasuk Ches. So what we talked about up until now was Gehazi is gone, right? Elisha's entourage is starting to grow. The people are surrounding him. They decide to move because there wasn't enough room for them where they were. They ended up going to another place. They ended up going to a place right by the Jordan River. As they were doing that, he got to miracle number 12. Miracle number 12 was he lost the axe in the river. Elisha threw down a piece of wood, and immediately the axe was brought up to the top. So Pasuk Ches over here. So the king of Aram started another fight with Israel. Now remember, what's his name is already on the side of Bnei Israel. Naaman is already on the side of the Jews. Now it's possible that all these prakim are out of order completely, and that this was before Naaman was healed. So Naaman is the general at the time, and they're fighting against Bnei Israel. It's very possible that Naaman is that guy. It's also possible this is afterward, and Naaman refused to fight. But the king of Aram was still fighting Bnei Yisrael. Now, he talked with his servants, saying, right, this is where I want you to make my camp. I want it to be in a covered and a concealed place where they're not going to know me whatsoever. Ploni, Almoni. Ploni means covered. Almoni means nameless. It's going to be a place that's hefker, and that's why we call somebody Ploni, Almoni. We all know there's a famous... That's where we have the guy. Right. This is a place that's Ploni, Almoni. I'm not an expert in Tanakh. I would say that these are the only two places where Ploni Almoni appears. Meaning you have it here and you have it by Rus. I don't think it's going to say anywhere else where it's going to be over here. So Aram was hiding from them. He wasn't getting involved. He wasn't doing anything like that. He didn't want anyone to even know the name of the place they were hiding. They wanted to keep even that secret. Plus it tests. The man of God sent to the king of Israel saying, you got to be very careful not to go to this place. Because Aram is hiding in that place. Meaning he got a nevuah. Don't go to that area because of what that is. So the king of Israel didn't believe him. Yehoram didn't believe him. He sent to that area where Elisha told him the people were. He's hero, right? He watched out there. He warned him. He watched out there not once, not twice. I mean, it's crazy. Elisha kept warning him, don't send people there. But Yehoram kept sending people there, and the people kept getting caught. The king of Aram's heart was very troubled among this thing because he saw that people weren't going there except for like one spy and then another spy, and that was it. He called out to his servants and he said to them, who among us is going to the king of Israel and telling us? What's going on over here that all of a sudden these things are being known to the king of Israel?
Who says that he was defying Elisha? It looks like he was taking heed to his warning and sending spies there to see how to get ambushed.
You know what? It's definitely possible that way from the pasuk shot in the pasuk. It seems that way. But it seems because he had said, Vayishlach melech Yisrael amakom asher amar lo Yisraelim, right? It sounds like the pasuk is trying to say, the place that the man of God had already told him don't go there, the king of Israel was sending it there. Why are you doing this? It's sort of like we're sort of knocking him down from doing it. But it definitely could be that way. Okay. Vayomer achad me'avodov, right? One of his servants said, Lo adoni amelech. No, it is not so, my master the king. Because Elisha, the Navi, who's in Bnei Yisrael, he's telling the king of Israel, the things that you speak about in your bedroom. It's possible this guy's Naaman. Naaman, if it already happened, would have been the guy to say, come on, they have a Navi. This Navi knows everything. Of course he's the one that's saying it. So go find out where this guy is. I'm going to send and I'm going to go grab him. They told him, saying he's in Dothan. Anybody remember Dothan?
Yeah, Yosef.
That's where Yosef Atzadik got caught by the Shvatim, right? So he thought he'd be able to get him because he's in that area. But he sent horses and chariots and armies, kaved, very many. They came at night.
Ephraim, Manasseh,
Binyamin? No, we don't know where Elisha was from, I don't think. Elisha was not officially from anybody, I don't know. Yeah, keep all here, they surrounded the city. Hey, it is very silly. I mean, if the guy knows everything that's going on, and he also healed Naaman, he probably knows that you're coming. So it does seem so silly that they did this. Regardless, right, the servant of the man of God got up in the morning by Yete. Now we don't know who this is. This is not Gehazi. Okay, it's not Gehazi. So it seems like it was after Naaman. Yete, he left. There was an army surrounding the city, as well as horses and chariots. And his Nar said he loves him. Aha, Adoni. Oh my gosh, my master. panaseh, what should we do now?
It's unbelievable.
You're sitting with the greatest Navi ever, but I guess he thought, like, we got to do some ishtablus. You can't just allow this to be and not worry about it. Something's happening over here. What are we supposed to do? Vayomer, and he said, Al tira, don't be afraid. Ki rabna shor itonim yasher osam. There's more with us than there are with them. There's more of an army by us than there is with them. Elisha said to him, and he said, Hashem, pekach noz enav, open up his eyes, v'yireh, and let him see. So Hashem opened up the eyes of the nar. And he saw, v'yinehar moli susav rechav esh svivos Elisha. The mountain is filled with horses and chariots of fire surrounding Elisha. So some say that they weren't really there. They were just a vision that the guy was able to see, but there weren't really horses and chariots. Elisha did not expect anybody to fight for him. No, but that's one of the opinions is that it was just like, let him see this vision, but not that there are actually horses and chariots sitting right there. They weren't actually there. The other opinion is that you should see what I'm seeing. And when you see that, it's awesome. If you would see the amount of malachim that are with you at all times who are protecting you and helping you wherever you go, you wouldn't have to worry. I just remember Kotius.
Right.
You text Kotius right now.
Okay.
Tell him that I told you to text him. Yeah.
Shadim around us too, so I know.
Yeah, Shadim the other way around. Yeah, the Malachi Mashkas, the 10,000 on your right and the 1,000 on your left, if you would see them as well. Either way, this is to reassure the servant, you don't have to worry about anything. But here do I love. Okay, so they came down to him. By Spalo Elisha Hashem, and Elisha called out to Hashem, he davened to Hashem, by Yomar, Hach Noz Agoya Zeh, Basanverim, make them blind. By Yakim Basanverim, Kidvar Elisha, and they were all hit with blindness. This is miracle number 14. Miracle number 14. Number 13 apparently was telling Yehoram that there were people in that place and protecting Yehoram from getting caught there. Apparently it was miracle number 13. Miracle number 14 over here is right here. So we're almost done. We've only got 16 miracles by Elisha.
Where is the miracle though when he allowed his nar to see? Or is that just a prayer?
No, maybe that's not it. Yeah, maybe that was just a prayer just to open up his eyes. Maybe that's not considered a miracle. I don't know. It doesn't say, it doesn't mention that as one of the miracles. I'm sorry? I would assume so. Yeah, you have to be somebody special to be able to do it. Some say that it was a blinding light that blinded them. Others say they couldn't understand what they were looking at. Like they saw something, but they couldn't understand things. They couldn't recognize things. They just had, you know, completely forgotten who they were and whatever it was. Some, you know, just say that they just lost their way and they got lost on the way to go find Elisha, and they were outside the city, and then all of a sudden they were like, where are we? And they were sort of hit with vertigo.
Amnesia?
Yeah, vertigo or amnesia, one of the two. Either way, a pasuk yud tes, vayomer alein Elisha, Elisha said to him, lo zeh derech, lo zeh ha'ir. You're in the wrong road. You're in the wrong city. Lechu acharai, come after me, he told the servants of Aram. Ve'olicha eskam el Elisha shirevakeshim, and I will bring you to the man that you're searching for. You're looking for Elisha, right? I'll bring you to Elisha, come with me. So he brought the army with Vayolech Osam Shomron, and he brought them all the way to the Shomron. Vayikabon Shomron, when he came to the Shomron, Vayomer Elisha, Hashem, Pekach es Eine Eile. So Hashem, open up these guys' eyes. Vayiru, they saw. Vayikach Hashem's Eine, and Vayiru, Vayinevisok Shomron, they realized they were in the middle of Shomron, right in the middle of the Jewish camp. Elisha had led them in to the King Yehoram. Okay, immediately they realized that at that moment. Vayomer Melech Yisrael Elisha, Kiros Osam. The King of Israel said to Elisha when he saw them, Ha'akeh, Akeh Avi, should I kill them? My master? Is this what you're referring to, Daniel?
Yes.
Oh, this is it. Okay, not the war. Ha'akakavi, should I kill them, my father? At this point, Yehoram realized Elisha's awesome. It took 14 miracles, but nonetheless, he realized he was there. Don't kill them. Hashir shavisa b'charbecha u'v'kashrecha. Did you capture them with your sword, with your bow? Were you the one who hit them? Sim lechem b'mayim with them. Put bread and water in front of them. But yochel v'yishtu. Let them eat and drink. But yochel adonam. They'll go back to their master.
So
he only wanted to make the miracle happen. And that's that. What's up?
This could be interpreted as lo tzakeh ha'asher, that which you captured with your sword and with your bow. Meaning,
what's the trup? I don't have the trup in here.
Lo tzakeh, do not hit. Ha'asher shavita b'char b'cha u'kashtecha atamakeh.
So, but that's a zakeh katon. And that's a mapach pashto. I mean, in our terms, yeah. This is, it's a mapach. This should be a beginning of something else.
While this
stops. No, so the simple shot is lo seket. Don't hit them.
Right, yeah.
Pashto, did you capture them? You didn't do it. Right? So because of that. So go do that. But Yechoslam Keira Gidola.
No, but that's not what Rashi says. Rashi says, do you kill people that you capture?
Because
what's the wording over there? Yeah, that is the answer over there. The Fidarka Laharog, Osam Shatva, maybe Shviya. Maybe you're right. Maybe the captives you don't kill. You kill them in war, or you capture them to be slaves. You don't exactly that you wouldn't do. Either way, Vayichu Lahem Kerigdol, they made a huge feast. Vayichu Vayishu they ate and they drank by Shalkan and he sent them away. Vayichu Al Dinim they went to the master of Yasu Od Gidudi Aram Labo Be'aretz Israel. No longer did the bands of Aram come into the land of Israel. So that's that. Allah Halacha, are you allowed to do this? No.
Why?
Halacha, if you're scared that they're going to come back against you in the future, then you are not only asked to kill them, you are required to kill them so that they don't do. Meaning the idea of
back against you.
If they're not going to come back against you. Well, the next one. First of all, you're Navi.
No, I know.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. It would be more Habalo Argecha Hashkin Mahorgo. Yeah, Habalo Argecha Hashkin Mahorgo. If he's going to kill you, then you're allowed to kill him first. Meaning in this case, the only time that you're allowed to is because of Navi.
Always to kill him, but you take him captive. To get like information that you intended before. You would have killed him if you didn't have any like pertinent information.
You would have killed him if you didn't have pertinent information. In other words, you're taking him in just for information, but then you want to kill him afterwards. You don't really want to
keep him. You can't keep him afterwards because you killed him afterwards, and nobody else is going to give you information. If everybody knew that you're going to, they get information and kill the person. They're not going to give information.
No, what he's saying is you end up finding out that he didn't have any information, so the other people know that guy didn't have any information. That's why they killed him.
Yeah, but they kept doing that after hours.
Yeah, and that would be that.
Most of them know. But then everybody gets captured, gets killed. They're no longer an observation. They kill them anyway.
And they're still being tortured.
Torture.
I don't know if they did that. Yeah, it's funny. We don't know about any of these things. Never did it say that they tortured a person for information. The only time they do ask for information, remember, is that one guy outside the city of, what's the city called? Luz. Where they wanted to get into the city of Luz. And they didn't torture him. They were like, don't tell us.
No.
Where is it?
They didn't torture him, but they rewarded him with his life.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Okay.
Because he gave the information.
Right. So they said, okay, tell us what happens, and then we won't kill you.
Yeah. That was all the way back in Shoftim. All the way back.
They did torture.
Well, there's no question, but we're talking about Jews. Yeah, what ended up happening. So let's see the end of the parak. Chav Dalet, Vayach Rechim, Vayikos Ben Hadad, Ben Melech Aram, Eskomach Nevel, Yal Vayatzor Shomron. Now, Ben Hadad of Aram, the king of Aram, decided to gather his whole camp together, and they went and they sieged the Shomron. They weren't impressed with Elisha's mercy. It's possible that those guys never fought ever again, just like Naaman never fought ever again. But nonetheless, the other people definitely were affected. They decided to go all the way up against Shomron. There was a massive famine in the Shomron. Because of this siege, right, it ended up being that the head of a donkey cost 80 silver pieces. The roba hakav divyonim b'chamisha kesef, a roba hakav of pigeon droppings. That's what it says. B'chamisha kesef cost 50 pieces of silver. Wait, 5 should be. Is it chamishim or chamisha? Chamisha. So it should be 5 pieces of silver. This is just a mistake. Over here, and that's that. The 5 pieces of silver altogether. This is the famous 7-year famine that's mentioned by the prophet Joel. Remember where it goes through the 7 years, and the Gemara Tinus goes through. Then the first year they ate everything they had in storage. Second year they ate everything in the fields. Third year they ate all the kosher animals. Fourth year the unclean animals. The 5th year the insects and crawling things. 6th year the flesh of their children. 7th year the flesh of themselves. And that was the 7th year where it was so bad, right, where everything was extremely bad.
That there were still some non-kosher animals left because the head of a donkey was 80 shekels.
The head of the donkeys, yeah, so they had to have something. I don't know what year this is referring to or how bad it was, but it was really, really bad by the time they got through.
They were eating the dung of the pigeons. What are they eat the pigeons?
I would assume there was just the dung left. Yeah, they probably already killed the pigeons, and this is all that was left. This is disgusting. But he Melody saw over Alahoma. Yeah, it was that bad. Listen, 7-year famines, but apparently that's what had happened. But Melody saw over Alahoma. So the king of Israel was passing by the wall. The Ishat Sake Love Lamor, a woman cried out to him, saying, Hoshi Adonia Melech, help me, my master the king. So at this point, it must be the Yehoram was still somewhat of a judge, you know, that helped judge the people and went involved with the people of Vayomer. Al Yoshiach Hashem, may Ayin Yoshiach, listen, if God is not helping you, how am I going to be able to help you? I mean, a Goren, I mean, a Yakiv. Can I give you from the threshing floor, from the wine press? I don't have anything. Well, what am I supposed to do? Vayomer lo Melech, and the king said to her, so, Malach, what do you need? It's clearly you're not asking me for food. What do you need? So she said, this woman said to me, right, Tini Esbenech, give me your son, and we'll eat him today. And my son, we will eat tomorrow. Okay, that's what the woman said. So we made a deal. We would eat each other's kids on separate days. I would think that a kid would last more than a day, but I'm not going to get into the issues of that type of event. What? Yeah.
Well, maybe there were...
Let's not talk about this. This is disgusting. When Vashal is beneath, we cooked my son, Banochleyu, and we ate him. And then I said to her the next day, Tinius Benech, it's now your son's turn, Banochleyu, we have to eat him. She has hidden her son. She has hidden her son. Some say that the child had already been slaughtered and prepared, and she had refused to serve it to the other one. That's possible also. Either way, the Yikishwal Melech is Divri Aisha. When the king had heard the words of this woman, the Yikos Begadim, he tore his clothes. He was walking on the wall, and the people saw that he was wearing sackcloth underneath his clothing the entire time. Yehoram still felt that there had to be covered of a king. It does show you a little bit about Yehoram, how great of a man Yehoram ben Yehoshaphat was. Although Yehoram did some bad things, nonetheless, he was wearing sackcloth underneath his regular clothing, right, in order to fast and daven for Klal Yisrael, but he felt he was a king, so he didn't want anyone to see. Now, because he tore his clothing, everyone saw that he was fasting and he was davening the entire time, and it was getting worse and worse and worse. By the way, this also reflected his personality, says the Medrash. On the outside, he was wicked. And that's what I meant, wearing the king's clothing, the chash of a clothing. On the inside, he was a chash of a yid. And that's the idea behind what it was over here. It's very similar. Yeah, very similar to what we said about Achav. And that's that. The Chazal say it's a Gemara. You are not allowed to wear sackcloth unless you know you're going to be answered like Yehoram was answered. You're not allowed to wear sackcloth that way. In other words, you can't just put on sackcloth and say, now we're going to be answered, unless you know you're like Yehoram. But Yomar, Ko Yasa Li Okim Ko Yosif, may God do this and that to me. In Yamod Rosh Elisha ben Shaphat Alof Hayom, if the head of Elisha ben Shaphat will stand on him today. Now the question was, why Elisha? Where did this come from? It was Aram. The Iranians were the ones that you have to blame. Why are you blaming anybody but them? What's going on over here? They all of a sudden you're going against that. So number one, yeah.
Well, Elisha's the leader. Elisha's clearly capable of big miracles.
Well, there's no question. But you can't blame somebody for not making a big miracle, can you? The blame is on Aram. It shouldn't be on them or on their sins. But going on
maybe
Elisha is not fair.
Maybe he thought that Eliyahu withheld rain.
Very good.
In a spot.
Very good.
So he figured Elisha was doing the same thing.
Very good. Almost the exact same thing. Elisha did make, he proclaimed the fast. Although we don't see it, we don't find it in our things, right? We do see, there was a point where Elisha made a fast the same way that Eliyahu and Avi made a fast, right? And said all this. So that's number one. That's the first thing over here. And thus he caused people to eat their own children. Number two, it could be as a mekatrik. Elisha is going around telling people they were doing things wrong. Eventually those sins went up to Shemayim and we deserved it because he was mekatrik us. He accused us. And because he had done all those things, therefore we had all this happened to us. That's number two. Number three, he let the Arameans go. I said we should kill those Arameans. I said we should kill them while, when we had a chance. And now Elisha let them go. He's the reason why this all happens. Those are the three reasons. So Elisha Yoshev Bezo, Elisha's sitting in his house. That's Canaan. Yoshimito, the elders were sitting with him. So he sent out one of the men in front of him to greet the messenger, because Yehoram sent a messenger to go get Elisha to bring him in front of the king. He said to the Zakenim, do you see that this son of a murderer has sent to me? The son of a murderer refers to Achav, who killed Nabal HaKarmeli, remember? He was called the son of a murderer because of that. He wants to remove my head. You'll see that when the messenger comes, close the door in front of his face and lock it. Up in the door. Because I know that his master is really behind him. His master is coming. There's no reason for this servant to get involved whatsoever. This servant does not deserve to see my face. Get him out of here. I'm waiting for Yehoram to come. Again, Bidabri Mom, while he's speaking with him, Yamalach Yoridilov, the messenger came there. By Yomer Nezosa Rome is Hashem, Ma'okul Hashem Od. He said, behold, this evil is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why should I dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu anymore? Some say, this is a big question, who said this exactly? Either the king said it, because he realized that Elisha wasn't opening the door because he wasn't responsible, or it's the words of Elisha. I can't do anything for you until you do tshuva. It's Elisha telling it to him. Or it's the messenger. The messenger said, what point is there praying? God's not going to help us. God is not with us whatsoever. So one of those three things happened over here. Now that messenger, we're going to see, plays an important and vital role in the next parak, which is why it's so important to be able to go through this over here. So now let's go. Parak 9 over here. Remember Elisha, Shema Devar Hashem. Elisha said, listen to the word of God. Kol Amar Hashem, this is what Hashem says. Ka'is Machor, tomorrow at this time, Sa'os Solis B'Shekel, a Sa'os, Sa'os is a huge amount. A Sa'os is 144 eggs worth of flour will cost a shekel, which is very, very cheap. Sasayim sorer b'shekel b'shar shamron. And two sa'as of barley, that's 288 eggs worth of barley, will sell for a shekel as well at the gate of the Shomron. Because people don't eat barley bread. Those who eat barley bread are animals, so you don't want to get yourself involved in barley bread. I told my wife all the time, she eats barley all the time. Yeah, and I said, yeah, it's unfortunate that shalom. But shalom is mixed in with meat, and that's why it's okay. Like my wife eats barley, but no, it's more healthy or whatever. Whole wheat and barley she eats all the time. And I tell her, it's mom's animal fodder. Either way, regardless, that's what he said. Now, listen to what Elisha does over here. It's not that Elisha's saying you're going to have food. That would be one thing, to say you're going to have food. He's setting the prices at this time tomorrow. This is what the price for bread is going to be at this time tomorrow, which means you're going to have bread before then. The bread is going to make it to the marketplace, and this is going to be the cost of that bread at the time. I'm sorry? Of flour, I'm sorry, yeah. But that's basically of barley and wheat at that time. Meaning, he's telling you that it's going to be so quick that the prices are going to shoot down from 50 shekel kesef for a head of a donkey, or 80, whatever it was. So it's going to go down to this amount over here. Now, first of all, Elisha said, none of you deserve any of this. This does not deserve anything. This is the 15th miracle of Elisha. You don't deserve absolutely anything over here, but a Kaddish Baruch Hu is going to have mercy on you, because even though you've sinned, you're going to see it, you're going to have a Kiddush Shema. Yanash Elisha Shalom
Aleichem. Have you done Shuvah in this time of...
In this scenario. I'm sure some of them did, but the king himself and the people that were in charge had not done Shuvah enough so. So, Yanash Elisha Shalom Aleichem, Nishan Al Yado. The Shalish, meaning this officer, right, that the king had, Nishan Al Yado, who was leaning on him. Remember, the king used to lean on Naaman. Remember, that's what Naaman said when we go to the idol worshipper's house, then he has to lean on me as he goes in. So he had another guy that he used to lean on now, because I guess he got rid of Naaman or whatever happened to Naaman.
Wait, but we're talking about
Yoram
right here.
What? No. You're right, I was saying that wrong.
Yeah.
Once again, another king. And he himself. Yeah.
Ion, though, could also mean
relied upon.
Figuratively, like it's his right hand man.
Yeah. No, I immediately assumed that it was referring to the assumed, but you're right. As he shall Elohim, right? He answered to the man of God. Even if God would make storage windows, like windows for the storage houses up in the heavens, could this possibly happen? Is that possible to happen? He's not arguing that it's possible for a Kaddish Baruch Hu to bring out food. But do you really think HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do such a crazy miracle for us? We haven't done tshuva. We're all a bunch of Rishayim. We're all a bunch of evil people in your eyes. You think HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make it so cheap so quickly? Hayomer, he said back to him, Hincha roa beinecha, you're going to see it with your own eyes. Misham mosocha, you're not going to eat from it. Said Elisha, you're going to watch it with your own eyes, but you won't even be able to eat from it. You'll die before you even get there. And that's what he told over to the church.
Forgive me for this question, but how is it any different than when Moshe says to Hashem, man, be lost all the Kol Am Hazeh when they're asking for me.
Great question. Apparently, this was worse because either, number one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has shown the people that he's done it before by Moshe Rabbeinu. So you can see it. So I mean, the first time he asked the question.
This is, somebody who just works in the army. Moshe spoke to God.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, he knew Hayad Hashem Tzitzar is not an issue.
Yeah, but maybe the second thing is that Elisha had already prophesied it, and he's known to be a Navi, that everything out there, while HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying it to Moshe Rabbeinu, was saying, it's going to be out there like that. I maybe you could say that...
Moshe already told Moshe that there's going to be meat tomorrow. So
what's
like
the exact word? What's the exact wording? See, I remember the famous answer. The famous answer for what we'll see later today, but the famous answer for this, is the famous answer for Moshe Rabbeinu, is that he was saying, I don't doubt that you can bring food, but are you going to bring food that's going to satisfy every person? Some of the people like meat, some of the people like chicken, some of the people like this. How are you going to be able to do that where everybody gets satisfied? And he says,
still,
you're
going to have Hashem said, like, I'm going to bring you every single species of bird in the world, and everyone's going to have like a different species on their plate. It's still like...
Well, Hashem said he was bringing one thing, which is a sloth. Right. Let's look at the wording in the pasuk. Oh, you have it right here. Let's look right here. David said he was going to be out of town this week. Where is it? Here we go. And it says, okay, Ma'ayin Li Basar. So this is before Ma'ayin Li Basar, is before HaKadosh Baruch Hu told it to him whatsoever. Where do I have the meat to give it to them? And then he said, right, Lo Yom Achad, etc. Here we go. So you're going to have it for like a month. And he said, there's 600,000 people over here. And you're saying that I have to give basar to all of them, but they're going to eat it for a month. Do you think I'm going to be able to shecht all the sheep and cattle, shecht them and give it to them? Are they going to be able to have that? Think of the wording. He did say it a little bit differently.
Okay, fine. Maybe it was less sarcastically,
but it's not even less sarcastically. He's like, "Do you want me to shecht all the sheep and the cattle?" It could be learned in shot.
A question.
And it's cold to get yummy. I say, "Lahem umatzel lahem." Do you want me to bring all the fish that I can find around here and bring it over to them? What am I supposed to do?
What is his role?
What's the plan? Yeah. What am I supposed to do over here? How can I do it? You could say it that way. I'm sure, wording wise, I'm sure we can get an answer right, and I'm sure there's going to be a bunch of answers for it. But it seems like that's that. But I like the question. I do like the definite question. It seems also that the Miyamoe says that he was interrupting him. That Elisha was speaking, and then all of a sudden the guy's like, no way! Which was
interesting. But I think there's also a manner of doing it. Like, the way that Moshe writes was much more respectful. Yeah.
Sarcastic, right? Yeah, oh, God, again, you really think...
Yeah, but that was what we were talking about before about Elisha's Midas HaDin. Remember in the past with Gehazi, and before that with...
Yeah, you're right. He was pure Midas HaDin by killing people. Maybe 42 kids, right. So maybe that's the exact same thing. He didn't take these things well. Well, let's see. The Arba Nashim, now this is the famous, this is the what's called the Haftorah for Parshas Metzora. The Arba Nashim Hayim Metzora in Pesach HaShar, the four men that were Metzoras by the opening of the gate by the Shomron. By Yom Reish HaRei, Shomron, first of all, was not a walled city from the day of Yoshua. So therefore, there was no Chiyuv to kick out Tzaras. Anybody that Tzaras was not officially kicked out of the city. He didn't have to be kicked out. Nonetheless,
one of those
is quoted by the Miamalays. So because of that, nonetheless, they were kicked out because they still kept certain laws, and this was one of them. One of the laws was keep them out of the camp. And maybe it was also for cleanliness reasons. But either way, regardless, he says, Vayomu Yisrael, the Yish said to their friends, Ma anach the Yoshan Poad Masna, why are we sitting here until we die? Im amaru nevoa ir va'rob ir, if we go into the city, well, there's a hunger in the city, we're going to die there. If we sit here, we're for sure going to die. Let's go to the Machne Aram. If we live, we live. And if we die, we die. Now, Chazal say that this was Gehazi and his three sons. They were the ones who got Tzaras. Now, there's no other Medrash. Otherwise, it's just random four Mitzorayim. But the Gemara does say that it's referring to Gehazi and his three sons. That's the Gemara in Sanhedrin around Kuf Zion. I don't remember exactly where that I mentioned over here. So that's that. King Omri built the city of the Shomron, by the way, made it a walled city. That's what it says over here. The what's it called? Ahab's father. Either way, regardless, he said it like that. Chazal say.
King for like a month.
Or three, whatever it was. Yeah, seven, whatever it is.
He
might have done it before that.
Omri was.
He might have done that. He might have done that or before he became a king.
Oh.
Might have been before that. I will say, Omri did get rewarded because he built up Eretz Yisrael. That was a medrash. Omri built up Eretz Yisrael, that he built up cities. Maybe it was before he became king. There are those that say that he had literally converted himself, meaning that he decided that he no longer wanted to be, forget about everything else, he no longer wanted to be Jewish. Gehazi wanted to go to Aram and said, we'll just do whatever they do. Like, if we live, we live, right? If we live, we live, and if we die, we die. You know, like, well, whatever, it doesn't make a difference to us. If we go to Aram, we'll do whatever the Arameans tell us to do. They were willing to give up their religion. They got up in the twilight to go to the king, to the camp of Aram. They came to the edge of the camp. There was no one there.
During the night or morning?
Well, Neshev could be either evening or morning. It's either one. Train Nashvi Habu is the Gemara in Brachos and Dav Gimel on the days. There are two Neshevs, right? Dav and Melech killed them in a Neshev out of Erev, so that was clearly morning. But the Neshev where Dav and Melech said he used to get up was referring to evening, right before. So there are two Neshevim.
Talking about the mornings, is that Kumu, which usually you wake
seemingly
up.
But it was still nighttime, and the reason why is because they didn't want the Jews to see him. They didn't want the Arameans to shoot them before they even came to the camp. They also didn't want anyone to see the fact that they were Mitzrayim, because if they saw that they had Tzaras, maybe they wouldn't let him in anyway. So it says, "Vadoni, Vadonoi Hishmias Machne Aram Kol Rechav Kol Sus Kol Chayo Gadol." Hashem allowed the camp of Aram to hear the noise of a huge of a lot of chariots and horses and a huge army. The kings of Egypt and the kings of the Chittim are coming upon us. They have hired them upon us. So they got up and they ran away in that twilight. The Yazwas all lamb and they left their camps. That's Susam and their horses, Kamaram and their donkeys, and Machmei Kashorhi. The way it was, they knew Sol Nashim, they just ran away for themselves. Now, clearly, it would have been easier to run away on your horses. That would have been better. Nonetheless, they weren't thinking. They ran away as quickly as you possibly could. Where did the noise come from? From the barud that was in the sky. By the times of Mitzrayim, there was barud that was left in the heavens at the end of the day, where Moshe Rabbeinu davened and the barud stayed up in the sky. That hail came down by the time of the Amorim when they fought against Yoshua. The noise waited up until this time. So in other words, the barud came down by Yoshua. The noise was right now. I don't know what that means. Don't know what it means. I mean, I always thought that it refers to the asteroid belt, and I kind of have a raya. The Miamluis by that was translated into English by Rav Aryeh Kaplan, in that one, in the back, in his notes, like this one, but the way they have in the, this wasn't though. He only wrote up until, Rav Aryeh Kaplan was only able to get up until like Mishpatim or something like that, and then he died. Everybody who writes the Miamluis dies. Rav Yaakov Kuli, the original writer, died in the middle of Bo. Rav Aryeh Kaplan died in the middle of whatever it was. It was somebody else who translates another language. There was another person who took over, and he died in the middle of Bamidbar. The rest of it was made by a whole kol. All the Nevi'im were made by kols. It's not made by the original people. It's just a bunch of kols that put together, that put it all together and took the name of Miam Loez. But it's not the actual Miam Loez that was written 250 years ago. It was easier for them. I think they just wanted to keep doing it. Either way, regardless, that noise is up there. So I will tell you, he says in the back that fire surrounding the ice is a comet. He says they were all comets or asteroids.
Yeah,
that's right.
A comet hitting the earth is different than a little meteorite.
Meteorite hitting the earth. I know. So I don't know what he's referring to or anything, but he said that that's what it was when Mitzrayim, that was the barud. And he said the rest of them standing up in the sky is the asteroid belt. And that's the barud that's waiting to come down Los Lobos.
There's no fire or water in the asteroids or the meteorites.
Technically,
when they enter the atmosphere,
it's freezing fire. cold rock.
Okay.
And when it goes through the atmosphere, there's boiling fire that surrounds it. Comets, in theory, do have ice on them.
Yeah.
Comets can have ice, so you know they can have ice, meaning ice water on the outside. So that could be possible. Anyway, it was a really cool. Sorry, yeah.
Exactly like the story of the Davidica.
What do you mean the Davidica?
It's a gun that Israel made that was
Davidica.
I know that.
You've seen that. There's a stop on the train station, Davidica.
Davidica Square.
Right after the show.
But what is it? I forgot what you were saying.
It's a mortar cannon. That they use in the War of Independence.
Ah, that's what they did. Okay, I remember. I remember the stories. Yeah.
And the fact they made a loud noise and it scared.
It just scared people out?
They thought that Israel had huge weapons, so they all ran.
Remember Davidica Square? They had a terrible dry cleaners there. They have Owen Mitzrayim.
They have Owen Mitzrayim
too. Yeah, I hated that dry cleaner. carpenter. Yeah, he never got anything out. I would go up and I'd be like, you didn't get the stains out. They say because they starch them really well, but they don't get stains out. So I went to them. I'm like, you didn't get the stain out. He's like, you shouldn't have been so dirty. I'm like, you're a dry cleaner. You do this for a living. My gosh, Israelis. Right? The Mitzrayim, the lepers, came to the edge of the camp. They came to a certain tent. Immediately. Gehazi had not lost his good old ways. He was extremely selfish. Even right then, he decided. What time do we have? Oh, we got time. Okay, so they came by Yochel, by Yishu. They ate and they drank. By Yisumisham Kesavizav of Gadim. They took silver and gold and clothing. By Yochel, by Yetminu. They went and they hid them. So don't tell me, oh, they forgot about everybody else. They knew exactly what they should have done.
They
were hiding it. By Yeshuva, by Evoa Olacher. Then they came to another tent. By Yisumisham, by Yochel, by Yetminu. They carried stuff from there and they went out and they hid it again. And then each man turned to their friend.
Who brings their Kesavizav to war? Oh, we're going to war. Let's go bring our gold.
I guess it could be like, plunder. It could be that they bring like shields that were expensive or sword hilts or things like that. Who knows? But either way, it says, we're not doing the right thing today. You know, like, their guilty conscience is like hitting them. Like, they're eating their children in that town, right? And we're sitting here, we're hiding the gold. That's not the right thing to do. Yom Besoru, it's the day of good news. We're silent. We waited until if we wait until Or of the morning, Sanu Avon, then people will find us and they'll see us, we're doing sins. Let's be the ones to go ahead and tell the king. So again, they're not doing it out of the goodness of their heart. They're doing it because they're afraid of being caught. Being caught and being said like, hey, what are you guys doing here? Oh, we chased away everyone and we get everything. They're not going to live that way. Here's the craziness behind this entire thing. There's an amazing revulsion that says that Saras is death. Saras is considered like your death. So the only way for that to go away is for a person to be considered alive. Okay, a person to be considered alive. So he says, the key to being alive is Eliyahu Anavi. Eliyahu Anavi is the Mevaser Tov. He's the one that gives over Besoros Tovos. Revolson is a big Kiddush. Whenever you tell over Besoros Tovos, you have a Nitzutz of Eliyahu Anavi within you. You have a spark of Eliyahu Anavi, and that's why Sarach Bas Usher, who is the Mevaser that Yosef was so alive, got to live forever. She had a Nitzutz of Eliyahu Anavi within her. That's why she comes to say, okay, whatever it is. But Eliyahu Anavi gets inside you. They knew that the only way to get rid of the Tzaras is to bring Eliyahu Anavi within them. So they said, wait! If we tell over good news, Besoros Tovos will be like Eliyahu Anavi. And if we're like Eliyahu Anavi, that means that our Tzaras will be healed. So let's go tell over the news, let's tell the good news, and that way we'll be like Eliyahu Anavi, everything will be fine. That's why they said Yom Besorahu. But look what happens. They have all the equal shore here. They went and they called out to the gateman, the gatekeeper of the city of Yagibulham, and they told them, saying, Banu Amach Ram, we came to the king of the camp of Aram. The Anshamish, there's no one there. The Koradom, there's no other voice of man. Kim Asus Asur, but the horses are tied. The Hamor Asur, and the donkeys are tied. The Al and Kasher Eman, the tents are like they are. The gatekeepers called out. They said to the king, all the way on the inside, they said, look what we just did. The king got up that night, right? And he said to his servants, I'll tell you what Aram is doing to us. So some say this was the night before. When the king was like, I have a premonition that something bad is going to happen. Others say it was still night for the king, because even though it was early in the morning, kings sleep 2 hours into the day, right? So since they're still sleeping, it was considered night for him. I'll tell you what Aram is doing to us. They know that we're starving. They went out from the camp, they're hiding in the fields. When they come out from the city, we'll capture them alive and we'll go to the city. Unbelievable, isn't it? He had heard Elisha's prophecy the day before. He heard Elisha's prophecy the day before. Can you believe this? And these guys are all of a sudden coming in and saying, they're gone. Everybody's gone. Everything is free. We have food everywhere. And he wouldn't listen. But you know what it ended up being? Gehazi was not the Mevaser Tov because of this. He didn't believe their news. So he wasn't Eliyahu Anavi, which means he wasn't healed from the Tzaraas.
But eventually it was because of him. He sent somebody out to check it out.
Somebody else was the Mevaser Tov.
He wouldn't just send that person if it wasn't.
He was the Goring. That's not enough for Eliyahu Anavi. Crazy. That's the whole revulsion. That was the whole revulsion. He wasn't healed from it. But Yan Echad Me'avad, one of his servants got up and he said, Bayomer, V'yichu Nocham Yishim Yisusim Anisharim, take five of the remaining horses, Ashun Yisharu Bo. The king had horses, right?
They're like feeding them.
I'm assuming he still had some money. It was the poor people that were, you know, that were gone. Ki ni kechol hamon Yisrael, like all the masses of Bnei Yisrael sh'nisharu ba, that are remaining in it. Hinam kechol hamon Yisrael sher tamu minishul avinireh. Listen, let all the masses of Bnei Yisrael be finished off, right? Let us send out and see. We're not going to lose anything. What's the difference? Let's send out 5 horses and that's it. Yichol shnei rechav Susan. But he took 2 chariots of horses. He refused. He said, no way. We're not taking 5. We're doing only 2. But Yisrael hamelech ha'chreimach me'arom le'mor l'chul re'u. He sent them after the king camp of Aram, saying, go check out and see what happens. Pasuk Tesvav. Yochel chreim ha'diyard. They went all the way to the Jordan River. And he called derech m'leiv agadim ha'kelim. All the streets were filled with clothing and vessels. Asher yishlichu aram bechavzam. That they had thrown down when they had run away. V'ashuvam ha'lachem ha'akidim ha'malach. The messengers returned. They told the king. V'yita om v'yavozu az machne aram. The people went out and they looted the camp of the Aram. This could be, by the way, before the messengers even came back. It would make sense. But he saw Solus Peshekel, but Sasayim Sorim Peshekel, Kidvar Hashem. Like HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, everything had happened. It was complete disorder. They ran outside. Miracle number 16 was that he had prophesied, Elisha prophesied this, and this is what happened. The Amalek Yivkidus HaShalish HaShunishan Al Yadu Al Ashar. So the king put the officer that used to be by his hand, he put him at the gate to stop everyone. Either to stop them to say, listen, the king gets the first spoils. Or to stop everyone to say, come on guys, let's make an orderly fashion over here. Be'er Misuah Bashar, but the people trampled him at the gate by Amos, and he died. Like the man of God had said, when the king had sent to him, that's what ended up being. Even then, he could have gone along with the people, this guy, but he stood stubbornly at the post, not believing that Elisha's words had actually come true. Amazing, isn't it? So he wasn't willing to do it. Let's go quickly. It says, that's what it's going to be like. That's exactly what happened. Why did we tell it? To tell you that this death was a divine punishment. It was because he had gone up against Elisha and was considered what he had done going up against it. Do not think that it was just a coincidence that he died. No, it was 100% because of what he had done. By mocking him, he had a very harsh punishment, and that was miracle number 15. We're now on the next part.